Get an in-depth look at sports from our resident Big Poll.
The Blitz with Justin Pawlowski. Saturdays at noon on The Sports Animal. 620 WDAE.
Oh, yes, wait a minute, Mr. Postman. Wait, wait, hey, 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 Mr. Postman.
Hey, Mr. Postman, look at me.
All right. Back-to-back days of emails. Yes. Told you I just had so many and I didn't get to them the last week. And well, this gives me an opportunity to answer your questions because that's what I'm here to do. I'm here to help you. I'm not going to just sit back and allow your questions, your comments to go unnoticed. Oh, no. I care about you. I want to help you. And that's why we're doing this here at JoeBucksFan.com. Because unlike all this other BS you see everywhere else, we're going to give you kick-ass coverage, not just involving the Bucks, but involving every team in the NFL draft with a Bucks spin. That's the specialty you get right here at JoeBucksFan.com. Now, we have a couple emails today that we're going to get to more. Financial questions involving the draft. We've got our 4-3 defenders. I'm going to break them down this weekend. Remember, live chat. My first ever live chat in which I'll be hosting next Tuesday at 4:30 right here at JoeBucksFan.com. 4:30 in the afternoon. So you can come on and chat with me about the draft. And as we get into that final week, you're going to hear a lot of BS, you're going to hear a lot of rumors, but then there's some things that you kind of need to search through and sift through that stuff and pick out what you believe to be true. And we'll try and do that Tuesday. Will be our first chat. Who knows? We might have more chats later on in the week, but Tuesday will be the first chat, 4:30. Make sure you're here, right here at JoeBucksFan.com, and you must be a subscriber. I cannot urge you enough. I walked into my house, my parents' house, the other night, and I caught my dad reading a draft magazine. Now, he goes on and reads my stuff, too, at JoeBucksFan.com. However, he's reading a draft magazine. He's a draft geek like I am. And I said, hold on a second. And I went through and I'm looking through, you look through the mock draft. And they've got players that are now rated as third and fourth round players going in the first round. Remember, these magazines were put out there months ago. Things change. That's what makes the NFL draft, especially this year, so exciting. Because we don't know where any of these nobody knows where any of these players are going to go. A guy like Michael Johnson, defensive end from Georgia Tech, going to break him down this week in our our breakdown of the 4-3 defenders. Now, that's a guy who has the talent, the size, the speed, everything you look for in a top 10 pick. But he could go in the second round. I have him going halfway through the second round because he's inconsistent. And when you draft an inconsistent defensive end, there's a good chance that he turns into a bust. Now, there's also a very good chance that the Bucks take him at the 19th pick. And with his size, with his speed, with all of the intangibles that he has, the guy has potential to be great. I don't know if you could criticize the Bucks taking that guy at 19. But I don't know if I'd be surprised if he fell to the middle of the second round. That's what kind of draft this is. He's not the only player. Larry English is a guy who could do that. Ron Brace is a guy who could do that. The USC linebackers could do that. More maybe Brian Cushing than Clay Matthews. I think Clay Matthews could be a good football player. But a guy like Cushing, you know, he's floating around. He's all of a sudden he's a top 15 pick. Then he's dropping to the bottom half of the first round. I just saw a few mock drafts that had him going in the second round. Darius Hayward Bay, another guy like that. Wide receiver from Maryland. This guy goes to the combine. He's 6'2", 210 pounds. Great size for a wide receiver. Then, oh, by the way, he runs the fastest 40 at the combine. 4.30. But what's the most important part of a receiver? Catch the frickin' ball. That's always been my big beef with Michael Clayton. You're a receiver, not a tight end, not an offensive lineman. I don't care if you can block. Catch the freaking ball. And I've been told that I'm not, what's the word I'm looking for? I've been told that I'm allowed to cuss here at JoeBucksFan.com, but I'm not going to do it. And the reason I'm not going to do it is because these microphones, and I'm sitting right here at my radio station, and if it just so happens that it sneaks out on the air, I get fired, so I'm not even going to go there. But Hayward Bay is a guy who could go, this guy has the talent. I saw somebody say he could go to the Oakland Raiders at 7. He could go. He could have gone to the Bears when the Bears had a first-round pick. The Bucks have been rumored with Hayward Bay in a few mock drafts. But then I'm seeing mock drafts that have him halfway through the second round. This, folks, is what type of draft we have. A deep one. And when you have a deep draft, you want additional draft picks. I can't harp on it enough. Hell, I've been saying this for weeks now. Mike Mayock of NFL.com, NFL Network, comes out yesterday, says the exact same thing. Why do you think each and every of top 10 teams so far, the Lions have tried, the Chiefs have tried, the Rams have tried, the Jaguars are trying, the 49ers are trying. Why do you think all those teams are trying to trade out of the top 10? Because they know the difference between a top 10 pick this year and a top 20 pick or a top 30 pick is not that different. And the difference between a top 15 pick this year and a halfway through the second round pick is not that different. And if you have the opportunity to get two of those players instead of just one, the odds of you hitting gold, the odds of you getting an impact player goes up dramatically when you get two for the price of one. This draft is going to be fun, though. Everyone's mock drafts are going to be wrong. Mark my words on that. Nobody can predict this draft. That's why on draft day, you need to join me. I'll be at Raymond James Stadium. We'll have you covered on the Sports Animal 620 WDAE from the start of the first round all the way through the second round. The entire first day, you'll hear 620 WDAE, the Sports Animal. And as I've always said, the best analysts in regards to the drafts or the NFL draft are the ones that can think on the fly, the ones that can give you every possible scenario. Folks, I've done my homework. I've done my work. I've dedicated hours upon hours to this draft, as I do every year. I've never been, and if you've followed the NFL draft coverage we have for you on the Sports Animal, you know that we cover it probably as good, if not better, than most radio stations in the country. I'm telling you this right now. I have never been as prepared and as ready for an NFL draft than I am this year. That excites me because I know that this draft, more than any other I've ever covered, is going to be the most unpredictable. That's going to make draft day a lot of fun. So as I said, please join me and my compadres next Saturday, April 25th, at Raymond James Stadium and throughout the entire first day of the draft. All right, we've got some emails here, just a couple we're going to get to. So let's open up our first one here and see what we got.
You've got mail.
All right. This is one I was going to get to yesterday. a few that I was going to get to yesterday. First one, Justin, what is the average contract worth for a round one pick? For example, is it worth taking or waiting until the number 20 is to announce your choice just to save money? Oh, so what this email is saying or asking, is it worth letting your time run out and still getting the guy you want and allowing, see, if your time runs out at the NFL draft, the next team can run up and select their player. It happened a few years ago with the Vikings. So what he's saying is that if the Bucs just let the clock run out and Detroit runs up, they get their guy, all of a sudden the Bucs go from having the 19th pick to the 20th pick. Will that change in regards to contract? I did some research on the 18th, 19th, and 20th players selected last year. The 18th player was Joe Flacco. The 19th player was Jeff Okudah. And the 20th player was Aqib Talib. Now, which of these, base salary, which of these do you believe got the biggest base salary among those four players or three players? Most of you are probably thinking Joe Flacco did. He's a quarterback. I'm not saying incentives. I'm saying base salary. And it wasn't Joe Flacco. As a matter of fact, Joe Flacco, who was the 18th pick, was drafted earliest among those three players, got the lowest base salary. Jeff Okudah, 5 years, $14.33 million. All these five-year contracts, $14.33 million. And Aqib Talib, who was the 20th pick by the Bucks, 5 years, $14 million. So the difference between the 19th pick and 20th pick last year, a matter of $0.33 million. That's base salary. Now let's go to bonuses and guaranteed money. The difference between the 19th and 20th picks. Jeff Okudah was the 19th pick, offensive tackle, got $6.4 million in bonuses, along with his five-year $14.33 million deal. Aqib Talib, the 20th pick. That's one pick after 19, right? He got a five-year $14 million contract. The deal includes $8.2 million guaranteed. $8.2 million. That's just about $2 million more than the player picked in front of him. So no, there isn't a big difference between 19 and 20. There isn't a big difference between 18 and 20. It comes down to the player you select, the player's agent who you have to deal with. But the difference between 18 and 20 might be within $1 million, so I wouldn't worry about that. Now the difference between a first-round pick and, let's say, a second-round pick, that could cut it in half or even more. That's when you ask yourself, if you're the Buccaneers and you are having financial problems, are we desperate enough to go ahead and trade, even if we're not getting proper value in return? Do we just go ahead and trade for 2 second-round picks? Which, oh, by the way, 2 second-round picks, there are, I think the Giants might, we went over that yesterday in yesterday's podcast. You can listen to that. But I think there's only one team with 2 second-round picks that would equal moving up to the Bucs' 19th pick, and that goes back to the NFL trade value chart. So that's our money. Oh, we got another.
You got mail.
Yes. Okay, good. Justin, talk about how the draft prospects contracts are comprised of rookie base salary, signing bonuses, and how it counts towards the team salary cap. Well, it's going to count, these base salaries going to count towards the base salaries are going to count towards the salary cap, guaranteed money. But every team has a rookie pool, and you know, I'm looking at my next email, and we could probably combine the two here.
You've got mail. Right.
How much a team has in their budgets for signing, this is what he wants to know, for signing the draft picks. For example, the Bucks are well under the cap while the Panthers are right up on the edge. How does that affect teams' ability to sign a big-ticket player, and might a team like that be inclined to trade down? Now, in regards to that, what do we got here? You know, as I said, every team has their rookie salary cap. They've already got that money. The reason teams are wanting to trade down, as I said, the talent pool in this draft being pretty deep and not having really a lot of elite players in it. I mean, the difference between Brian Arakpo and Clay Matthews, or Brian Arakpo is the top outside linebacker, defensive and outside linebacker, hybrid for that 3-4. The difference between him and Larry English and Clay Matthews, not that much. There's not a big difference there. Yet, Brian Arakpo, more than likely, is going to be a top 10 pick. Going to make millions of dollars more than those two players. Especially if a guy like English goes in the second round. That's tremendous value. Value being how good a player is and how much you're paying him. You're going to pay him a lot less if you get him in the second round compared to Brian Arakpo in round one. Top 10, to be quite honest with you about that. But every team has their salary cap, their rookie salary cap, and rookie pool. So they don't need to worry about that. So a team like the Panthers and the Bucks, that's not going to incline the Panthers, or a team like the Panthers that's right up on the edge. The Panthers don't have a first-round pick, but a team like the Panthers that are right up there against the cap to trade down. It's more the economy, and it's more the type of players that are in this draft. Our final email coming in.
You've got mail.
Whoa. This one from Joe himself. What up, Joe? Thanks for hiring me. What makes this Bucks regime qualified to make a good draft pick? That's a good question. I don't have the answer for it. What's the experience level of the current Bucks brain trust when it comes to evaluating players? Mark Dominic's been with the team 14 years. He's been with Rich McKay. He's been with Tim Ruskell. He's been with all those guys. Jerry Angelo. Some pretty good evaluators of talent. And he's also been with Bruce Allen the past few years. You know, Mark Dominic has found diamonds in the rough like Antonio Bryant. He was a part, at least from what I understand, of drafting Quincy Black, Adam Hayward, which I'm sure he wants to see those guys on the field. You know, I've always heard high regards for Mark Dominic for his talent evaluation. We don't know. We don't know what type of drafter he's going to be. We don't know what type of drafter Raheem Morris is going to be. That's what you get when you have first-time guys at each of those positions. You don't know. This is going to be a very unpredictable draft for the Bucks. This is going to be a draft where we might shake our heads, we might scratch our heads, we might scratch our butts, we might fling poo at them. Or we might be jubilated and excited over what comes on draft day. I will tell you this, the past four or five first-round picks have been disappointments at Raymond James Stadium. It can't get much worse than that. Joe goes on in his email about the brain trust when it comes to evaluating players, and does it compare at all with the guys in charge among the other NFC South teams? Well, guys like John Fox and Sean Payton, they've been doing it for a long time. Sean Payton has had his ups. He's had his downs. Meacham is coming into his own as a wide receiver. Tracy Porter was a great second-round pick as a cornerback, got hurt last year, but it looks like the Saints finally found a number one shutdown corner. John Fox has done a very good job of drafting players over the year. Jonathan Stewart last year, D'Angelo Williams a few years back. He's had some issues with drafting wide receivers. John Beeson was one of his draft picks. Chris Gamble was one of his draft. I mean, these are star players on the Panthers. And, oh, by the way, Mike Smith and Thomas Dimitroff, both those guys for the Falcons. Dimitroff coming in from the Patriots. Mike Smith coming over from the Jaguars. They draft Matt Ryan. I'd say that was a pretty good pick. So they're pretty good evaluators of talent, too. Listen, they have experience. Those three have experience now. Mike Smith and Thomas Dimitroff, you know, their first draft ever as GM and head coach was last year. They did pretty well. So the hope is there. However, they have experience now. Sean Payton has experience. John Fox has experience. The Bucs GM and head coach do not have experience at the draft and in drafting players. Joe goes on in his email, as a fan, I just don't know why I should have any faith in the Bucs war room. Dominic and Morris, Jagodzinski and Bates, Quarles and Doug Williams. Have any of these guys been responsible for drafting a quality NFL player? Whew, that's a loaded question. I mean, you got to go back and look at Jim Bates. You know, when he was in Denver, they drafted Jarvis Moss and Tim Crowder with their first two picks. His first year in Denver, they needed defensive line help. And you know what? Neither of those guys turned into very good players. He didn't draft Jason Taylor. He didn't draft Zach Thomas. He didn't draft Sam Madison or Patrick Surtain. He didn't draft Adewale Ogunleye. He didn't draft those players. And as for Jeff Jagodzinski, you know, as coordinators, they're going to have a slight say, but it comes down once again. The final verdict comes down from Mark Domenech, his scouting department. It's what they get paid to do. You know, the coaches get paid to coach, other than the head coach who's going to make a decision as well. But the offensive coordinator can make a suggestion. The defensive coordinator can make a suggestion. But ultimately, it comes down to general manager and head coach, scouting department, and the closest people to the general manager. Why should you have faith? You shouldn't. You should have hope. You should hope that they do well. There is a chance that they do well. There's a chance that they draft well. Hey, you know, the draft is a crapshoot. A lot of these guys are great. A lot of these guys will never make it in the NFL. You should always hold out hope. That's what makes the draft so exciting. Now, on the flip side of that, I don't know if I'd have a lot of faith until they show me that they can consistently be good drafters. This is an important draft for the Bucs, a rebuilding team. You don't want to continue down a downward spiral. And nobody wants to use the word rebuilding, but you are. And that makes this draft so important because it's not quantity with the Bucs. It's not about bringing in more players, more role players, more backups, more special teams players. It's about time for maybe the first time in 5 years bringing in players that will make an impact. That hasn't happened here in a while. That's the goal, should be the goal, of the new regime in Mark Domenech and Raheem Morris. Our goal right here is to update you on everything that they do. And the wisest thing for you to do is to keep hitting refresh and keep coming back, because we continue to update and inform you. That's what we do right here at JoeBucksFan.com.
The Blitz, Saturdays at noon, only on 620 WDAE, the Sports Animal.